See the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show on UPR and radio. And this is August 14th, 2018. Tonight, I got a really great show for you. We are going to talk about nuclear and what do you do with nuclear waste? You know, what does the government want to do? And I've got these incredible two women coming on tonight, Daria Bachman. And she's a journalist based in Southern Nevada and has written for a number of publications about Yucca Mountain, federal land, and environmental issues. And along with Anna Anderson, she produced a documentary called Repository, and it's about Yucca Mountain and, like we said, the nuclear waste in the U.S. Now, Anna Anderson is a documentary filmmaker and photographer with a background in business and marketing based in New York City. In 2014, she co-founded Like a Girl Productions, a production company aimed at providing female documentarians with a platform to create and distribute their work. She has since shot and edited two feature-length films and a mini-series. For more info, we can go to therepositorymovie.com. Now, again, we're talking about the nuclear waste that they want to put up in Yucca Mountain. Now, in 1987, the U.S. Congress passed the Nuclear Waste Policy Act, designating Yucca Mountain in Nevada's desert as the nation's sole repository for nuclear waste storage. Now, officials in Nye County, the host of the proposed nuclear waste repository, support the project. But the majority of Nevada's officials, residents, and members of the state's delegation oppose the storage of nuclear waste at Yucca Mountain. Welcome, ladies. I'm so pleased to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you.
Now, to me, I'm asked you when I saw what you were doing and working on, which is the nuclear industry, and I really wanted to bring you on because I really believe that not enough people really focus on the nuclear industry and what's happening and what our government is doing, and that's even what's coming out of Fukushima.
Okay. Yeah, I think that definitely this issue has played a lot of times in the American media. But what we're seeing is the problem of nuclear waste in the United States. It has a completely different context where we have, you know, tens of hundreds of thousands of metric tons of nuclear fuel sitting near the ocean, near rivers, near major cities, and it just doesn't have anywhere to go. And the proposed site near Yucca Mountain has a lot of issues. So people do realize that, you know, storing nuclear waste is dangerous, and storing it for, you know, tens of thousands of years is not really an option. However, there's no, uniform storage that everybody agrees on.
Why did they choose Yucca Mountain?
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to answer two questions in a row. You can go ahead.
It's fine. It depends on who you ask. Like, some people say it's the best place for it, and other people seem to think it's the state that has the least opposition.
Ah, now, if they go ahead and make this a repository, actually, I want to ask you, how did you two get together to make this project happen? And, you know, Daria, aren't you from France?
No.
Oops.
It's a good one. I never got that guess before. So, basically, I was working as a journalist at a newspaper in the state of Nevada, and one of the topics that I was covering was Yucca Mountain. So my sort of like a dream was always to make a documentary, and I thought that this issue was really important and worthy of working on and spending time on. And then I started looking for a partner on my project, And as I was looking for a partner, I turned to social media and started doing some research. I found Anna, and she liked the idea. I found her on Twitter, actually. And we got in touch. We messaged back and forth and sort of brainstormed the idea. And then she came over to Las Vegas to visit and to do the first shoot, which was out in the desert. And then this is how it started, really.
Okay.
I don't know. Sorry. I don't know if you want to hear Anna's sides of the story. Oh, no, it might be a little bit different.
No, it sounds exactly like that.
Right. But yeah, what was the other part of the question?
Well, it's a good project you guys are working on. So if they do choose to put this in Yucca Mountain, how are they going to get all this nuclear material to it?
So right now, I think they have about 104 different places where they're either creating nuclear waste or it's been decommissioned. So they have nuclear waste sitting there. So they're spread out over, I think, 39 different states. So they're going to put it on trucks and on the roads that we're driving every day. They're going to put these nuclear trucks and drive them probably to Yucca Mountain.
They're going to put this on regular
trucks. And railways. Yeah, so trucks and railways as well.
Aren't they concerned about the possibility of maybe the trucks leaking?
You know, there's a lot of... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. No, I don't think leaking is... I think the prior or the most worry they have is accidents. Like if there's a car accident on the roads or if the trains get derailed or something like that. I think that's their biggest worry.
Right.
Well, and I'd one be thing, kind of concerned. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
And you know, one thing to add is that the studies that show radiation and you know just the spread of nuclear materials and how it would affect the areas where the shipments are going to go through. The results that you know you see in government studies and in the studies that were conducted by the state of Nevada are very different. So essentially, you're looking at two different kinds of science. You know, the one science says that it's safe and it's, you know, there's no danger to, you know, people. And another science says that, you know, it will be a considerable amount of radiation, you know, especially if these trucks stop along the way somewhere. You know, it could be something like a portable X-ray machine that can't be turned off. And that's quoting one of the sources that we have in our documentary. So there's no uniformed opinion on how it would affect, you know, people nearby, basically.
They don't care. I mean, I would hate to, you know, you could be going down the freeway and they're not going to mark these trucks, are they? How are they going to let the public know that you've got this convoy that's full of radioactive material, you know, coming down a highway near you?
Yeah, well, they look, they have a specific... you know, look, the way this cask's loaded with nuclear material, they have a distinct look. It's just not everybody knows what they look like. And then one of the other concerns that is always highlighted by state officials here is that these shipments might be subject to terrorist attack or, you know, accidents. You know, if something goes wrong and let's say a truck driver falls asleep or does something wrong, there could be a major spill or something like that that could cause a lot of radiation. So that's a very big issue with that.
With the general public, but not with the government.
I'm sorry, well, what's that?
It's an issue. It's not an issue with the general, with the government, but the general public.
Right.
I don't think the government is like out to kill people. I think the government see that they don't have any other options. Because basically the government signed contracts with the nuclear, what is it called, where they make the nuclear stuff?
Like nuclear companies.
Yeah, they made like a deal with the nuclear companies that if you make a nuclear site, and we promise we will take the waste. So everyone went ahead and they created all this nuclear waste, and they said, now where do we ship it? And the government was, you know, just told them, we don't know.
God, that's government at its finest.
Right. So yeah. Like Anna said, when this, you know, facilities, when nuclear plants were created, there was sort of like a consensus that the government, you know, promised that it will take care of the waste. And there's no centralized storage to this date. So a lot of these companies are paying, you know, to really store that waste. And it's really not a good situation because the waste is really not supposed to be sitting like that around the country.
I think a big concern that we brought up in our documentary is the plant in San Onofre in California. They have 82 times as many canisters that were leaked in Chernobyl. So basically, you can have a disaster there that's 82 times as bad as Chernobyl was. So, and it's sitting right next to the ocean and it's in the seismic zone, all of that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, oh, well, you go on the East Coast right now and they're going through the hurricane, which has been downgraded to a tropical storm. But yeah. There's that nuclear plant out there. Oh, God, I can't remember.
There's six of them.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel better. I was only focusing on
there are six of them that they just they closed for the time being of Florence.
You know, this is kind of scary. I've seen enough crazy, weird movies to understand that, you know, if we all nuclear plants leak and what we are on the precipice of a nuclear disaster of any moment, like Fukushima, because of where they have put them and they have made them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you could say that. And then people say that they're so safe that nothing will happen and that they learn from the mistakes in Fukushima and, you know, what is it called? Three Mile Island and Chernobyl.
I know. And Trump doesn't lie either. yeah, we've got people in denial, and you thought, you know, we thought we were over this in the 60s, and it's just like it all comes back to haunt us because it never went away. These people are insane. You want nuclear, you are insane. When I've had people on the program, they're talking about this third generation nuclear plant and how safe it was supposed to be. There are no safe nuclear. I don't care if it's the 20th generation. If it's nuclear, it's not going to be safe.
Yeah.
Right.
But they're creating more. Like I say, there's no cap right now in America. In some other countries, there's a cap. But in America, they keep creating more nuclear plants.
And I think it also goes down to like individual states. For example, like if you look at the West Coast, so California now has two plants. One, which Anna mentioned, is San Onofre and is being decommissioned right now. And then another plant is in, you know, like right next to San Luis Obispo, and that's called Diablo Canyon. So that plant, you know, was just recently the local board, I believe, voted to start decommissioning process of the plant. And then I think it's pretty similar to the situation on the East Coast, but I think in the South is actually where some of the plants are being constructed. And I think one of those plants is the plant down in Georgia. But really, if you look at the overall situation, more and more nuclear plants are really closing. And the plant that we have in our movie, the San Onofre plant, most recently, these canisters that have nuclear waste, they're being buried in the ground right next to the beach. And the local community is obviously very concerned about that.
Yeah, duh. Just want to smack your head. God. You know, I mean, why are these insane people in charge?
What do you mean? Oh, you mean the government?
Well, pick a direction in the government, you know. Well, you know, I also know that for some reason, the United States has a commitment with Canada to take their nuclear waste Now, I don't know what's happening now with Trump, but this was what was planned. And they were going to take it right from, like Windsor area, and then run it right through the South, through major cities, taking it all the way down to the ocean. Now, they also wanted to make in North Carolina, and I know this because my best friends live there and they fought it, they wanted to put the nuclear dump site, or one of them, up in the mountains, way up in the mountains where it's like a not even a two-lane road and it's all S-curves, and of course you've got rivers and streams and it all goes to the ocean. Well, that didn't happen. But, you know, they're proposing on sending all the nuclear material down, like, you know, what we're talking about, going to Yucca Mountain.
Yeah, I think that this was, you know, a major hope. And, you know, the way Yucca Mountain was selected was because of politics, basically, and not because of the science. So I think, you know, when this plan came up with what you just mentioned, honestly, I'm not really familiar with. But I think it would be, you know, sort of thing that generates income, you know, like you take the waste and you basically get paid money for that, right? But because that plan didn't work out, now it's all in the air. And, you know, the amount of waste that the United States has alone, you know, cannot be stored at Yucca Mountain right now just because there's so much. So I guess even if there was a plan to take something from Canada, under the current scenario, I don't think it would be realistic.
Well, nothing the government does is realistic, okay? You know, we're talking about doing some insane stuff. So it's real, and they do want to do it, and they may have already started. But again, when I talked to you about Mary Olson and the nuclear research, she's a person that brought this up to my mind, and what they were doing in the communities to make them aware to help block it. And, you know, they do the petitions and they do protests, all that stuff. They're really incredible. So what do the townspeople, isn't Yucca Mountain, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that not part of, or was part of the Indian reservation?
It yeah. actually is. So I don't know if Anna wants to talk about it or should I talk about it. It's kind of a big, it's a very big part of this whole issue.
Yeah, I can tell. Whatever, okay, go ahead. It doesn't matter, you can talk. Basically, was it 1683? It was like a long, long time ago.
It's 1863, yeah.
1863, yeah. The Native American tribe down there called the Timbisha Shoshone, they made a treaty with the American government that they could pass through their land. And they gave them like something like, you know, you can have one road, one phone line, or didn't have phones back then, but they have like one of everything. But they never agreed that they would put they can put the most dangerous waste in the world on their land. So they're already breaking the treaty. So that's a problem. But I don't think they really care too much about treaties because they said they encroached on the land. So they have a right to it now. But obviously
they hate treaties, don't they? Yeah, name me a treaty that they really kept.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think they're too much into treaties.
No.
You know, but they're fighting it. And there's, you know, some of the native people that we spoke to has like a part in the government and stuff now. So they supposedly have some say in it, but not really.
You know, and another thing to say is that this whole area, like Yucca Mountain, is part of their, I guess, what's called sacred land. And it plays a very big role in their culture. And like spiritually, it has a very big meaning for the tribe. And I think, you know, aside from all the concerns with, you know, storage of the nuclear waste and potential spills and everything else that goes with it, you know, it would be a very big violation as far as the land that was designated for the tribe, and the land would be, you know, used for nuclear waste storage, which, you know, it would be a clear violation of that policy. So that's why the tribe was really, you know, I wouldn't say up in the arms, but they're very concerned. And they're tracking this developments very, very closely. And, you know, earlier this year, Congress had passed funding for Yucca Mountain. And, you know, I talked to members of the tribe just before that. They were really concerned about what way it's going to go, because obviously for any funding, it has to be approved by, you know, both Congress and Senate. And it didn't happen. So I guess there was some sense of relief, but it's only temporary because, you know, like we all know, the Trump administration is trying to restart the project. So we don't really know what's going to happen next.
I hope I vote for impeachment and jail, okay?
Yeah, but even if Trump gets impeached, his buddy will take over Pence, right?
No. Well, we'll see, okay?
It's not like if you impeach, you get a clean slate and start over.
Mueller can also go after Pence, and it's not ever happened like this before. And, you know, it would be a good idea if we did start over with some different candidates. I'm just saying, because this is craziness. But anyway, what did the natives say? Don't they pay attention to all the natives up north that have all their lands that have been, and the waters that have been contaminated by the uranium mines?
Are you talking about like North Dakota?
Well, where they've got the uranium mines.
Right. So that's something that they mention a lot. And that's something that's on their radar, because, you know, when they talk about Yucca Mountain, like they mentioned that with uranium mining, there was a lot of, you know, health issues in the local population. And, you know, when these companies came in and they started to mine areas for uranium, like especially if we look at the Navajo Nation, you know, in Arizona, they were told that it's completely safe and that, you know, it's nothing's going to happen. But then when the mining actually started to take place, you know, there were some really bad effects, and a lot of people were getting diseases and were getting really sick. So I think the concern with Yucca Mountain is very similar. Like, the government says that it's safe and it's not going to do anything. However, the native people look at other areas where the government did, you know, projects that were promised to be safe, but then it turned out to be completely different.
Well, this is the same government that decided to raise the radiation level that they think is safe for us to breathe. Yeah, right. Did you hear that one? They literally raised it.
They also changed the point of compliance. So that in the beginning, they measured the radiation at one point, and then they realized it was too radioactive at that point. So they changed the point of compliance to way, way further away. So by the time it got to the part that was further away, it wasn't as radioactive anymore. So it's okay then.
Well, yeah, I know. They even moved, if I recollect right, all the monitors from the West Coast inward, you know, toward the middle of the country. But I don't know if you know how high the radiation levels are. There's over 100 cities over 10 million rads. And Colorado Springs, where they've got the uranium mines, they are the highest radiation of the United States. And the last I checked, it was over 55 million rads.
Okay.
And that's from Fukushima.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's been going on for 11 years. So, now, what kind of, are they actually doing this now? Are they still, you know, storing a little bit in Yucca Mountain?
No, there's nothing stored. So what really exists at Yucca Mountain is a tunnel, which is only about 5 or 6 miles, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, the tunnel was constructed when they approved the proposal to start Yucca Mountain back in the day. So they constructed this tunnel. They dug this huge hole in the mountain. with a special equipment, and then they conducted some studies and research in the tunnel, you know, just to see how the rock would react to all the chemicals. And it was all very experimental in nature. But then what happened was the funding was canceled for the project by the Obama administration. And really, that kind of, you know, put Yucca Mountain, you know, on a very long hold. It was really mothballed, and everybody thought it was dead. However, the project was showing a little bit of pulse, you know, here and there, that it would come up, you know, as a topic. And, you know, with the Trump administration, obviously, it's back on the table now. But really, there's no facilities at Yucca Mountain that could store waste.
I don't know if there's any place on the planet that literally can store waste right now, do you?
Well, we spoke to a volcanologist, a guy who was like studying volcanoes, and he said, you know, Yucca Mountain became Yucca Mountain because of a volcano back in the day, but he said that they have places in Minnesota and kind of up there that are very similar to where people in Europe store their nuclear waste, like up in the mountain in Sweden and stuff like that, and in Finland. And that supposedly would be a better place to store it, but it wouldn't be a good place politically to store it there.
Yeah, well, I'm from Michigan.
Okay.
Minnesotans going, I don't think so.
Yeah, and there was also some suggestions to send it to space, to build islands for it, and or to store it in the ice on the Antarctic, or was it Antarctica or the, I think it was, or there were also suggestions that we would put in the ocean at the bottom, kind of drill it into the ocean.
Just nothing but brilliant ideas just floating out.
The ocean one is still it's still kind of there in the background. But it's been put on hold because of Yucca Mountain, but it's never really been like shut down completely.
You should play dueling banjos with these guys, don't you? I mean, really. Are you young enough to remember dueling banjos from Deliverance?
No.
Oh, God. You got to watch the movie. And the guys playing Deliverance, you know, dueling banjos, you will understand. Us older generation, we get it. They're not very bright, okay? You know, it's like inbreeding. Come up with these ideas. Well, I have to tell you there, when Fukushima went off, and I wrote one of the congressmen, and I live in Hawaii, and I asked, what are you doing? Why is nobody talking about Fukushima? His answer was, and I kid you not, well, don't worry, because the scientists say that the air and the water is going to dissipate it, and it's not going to come near us at all.
Oh, wow.
And I asked him, what are you smoking, and who are the scientists you're talking to? And you are endangering not only your own family, but everybody in Hawaii with that attitude.
Right.
I didn't hear them. But yeah, I mean, nobody's talking about it. What a crime.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing tours of, is it Fukushima they're doing tours of now? Because I saw it, there's a series on Netflix called Deadly Tourists or something like that, or Dark Tourists. And they go to Fukushima for a tour, and they're all giving Geiger counters, which measure the amount of radiation in the air. And they say if it's over 0.2, then you shouldn't really be there because it's bad for your health. And it goes up to like 10 or 12.
And these are everyone... people without brains, okay? I mean, yeah. Honest to God, it's like, well, yeah, they want to do the Olympics there, okay? It's like, oh yeah, put out the great athletes, let them breathe in all the radiation. I went to Japan to do a lecture. I was there for 2 weeks, 10 days. I come back and I was sick, oh my God, from the radiation. Mm. And they can't talk about it there. There's a gag order. I mean, I truly believe there's a company that should really be invaded. It's Japan, just so we could take over the nuclear reactors and get scientists in there.
It's really amazing that it's the whole issue seems to be so off the radar. You know, it doesn't look like anybody really talks about it anymore.
Well, that's Chatty Cathy. I do. I keep sticking it in people's face because I want people to live. And if you don't understand that, maybe, you know, you're sick because you're breathing radiation, or all of a sudden somebody died of a heart attack because they're outside a lot and it's because of radiation. And maybe if they would have taken extra vitamins to really pump up their heart, you know, and did extra cleansing, they'd be alive.
Mm-hmm.
It is the conspiracy. You know, nobody in the government's talking about it. Where do you see it talked about in the papers?
Yeah, well, you know, it's...
Daria used to write about it.
Well, yeah. So I was writing about it, but, you know, I was... I don't want to say, like, I was censored. But, you know, when you write for a public outlet, it's a little bit different as opposed to like doing a radio show that what we're doing right now. So there's a little bit of a difference in the thing that you can say and that you cannot say. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I do. And I'm very, very lucky that I've got a wonderful producer and a station that allows me to bring these programs and do energy and light work. And, you know, I am blown away because I'm able to do this without censorship. Well, you know, every now and then the government will come in and censor me, and it hasn't been done in quite a while. And then I just remind them about karma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, that's actually pretty similar to our project because, you know, really the beauty of the project is we can, I don't want to say that we can just say whatever. We obviously have to stick to the facts and tell the truth, but we have, you know, all the editorial control over what we do, and we don't really have like a big, you know, a big brother or anybody who is really dictating us how to do things or what to say.
How can people see your movie, your documentary? Is it out?
Well, if you go to Rio de Janeiro or Berlin, or like we basically be going into a Uranium Film Festival, so it's showing there right now. We're going to see if we can get into some more film festivals and maybe do some screenings. It would be nice to do screenings along the route where the nuclear waste is going to be transported, was what we were thinking, and then kind of take it from there.
That's yeah, really- and you know, I think really a lot of people in the United States they don't really realize like the scope of this problem. So that's why we're doing this documentary, because I don't think many people, like one of our sources again pointed out in the movie, not many people in the United States know where the nuclear you know, energy is coming from. That's number one. Number two, many people don't even know what the issues with storing nuclear waste and, you know, how it really originates. And that's even a bigger problem. So we're really trying to educate the public on some of these really, you know, like hot issues.
That's like out of sight, out of mind. That's why they're not talking about Fukushima. If they don't talk about it, you don't think about it. And, you know, I actually have a store in Honokaa in Hawaii. And I remind people, and I can't tell you how many people will go, oh, I thought that was over. Mm-hmm. No, it's going on, what, 8 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think 20% of our energy is from nuclear. So, you know, if we're going to start somewhere, it would be good to start there and kind of change that around.
Oh, I agree. How can people contact you? Do you guys need help?
Sure. Right. I mean, if you still want to host screenings or like stuff like that, we'll be happy to talk to people.
Also, I think, you know, Anna, she has a pretty big following on social media and through Lucky Girl Productions, because I'm not quite sure that the website is, you know, that we get everything, because I had some people who were saying that they had messaged us and we didn't really get it. So I would say probably for now, you know, it would be better to contact us through Lucky Girl Productions page.
Yeah. So.
And you're on Twitter. That's how I found you. Twitter's the place, I'm telling you.
Yeah. So basically my production, or our production company, because Daria is part of it now too. So our production company is putting it out. So it's likeagirlproductions.com or a Twitter. We're Like a Girl Inc. And people can just message us there. And Daria made an incredible website that's way more nicer than the one I did, which is the repositorymovie.com, where it's like more in depth about the movie. So yeah, those are our places.
Awesome. What do you see? I know. Is this just the reservation, the Indians on the reservation, their concern? Or, you know, are the townspeople out of the reservations concerned with what they want to do at Yucca?
Yeah, I think there is a very significant percentage of, like, when you say townspeople, that, so there are a few nearby towns, right? So it's a big county. It's the largest, it's the third largest county in the country. It has a lot of open land, and all of the towns that surround that proposed site, they're really small towns in the middle of the desert. So there is not a lot of population. And I can't really say that, you know, people, you know, they follow what the government tells them on all the safety and everything. But I've met quite a few people who were concerned about what's proposed. And I've also met people who, you know, they actually worked at the Nevada test site, and they worked at Yucca Mountain when it was operating back in the day. And they were very much in support of this project because they think it's going to be an economic engine in the area, and it's going to be very beneficial to the place that doesn't really have a lot of jobs. And, you know, the economy is really based on, you know, I'm not even sure. It would be something like probably government projects, because BLM controls really almost 92% of the land in the county. So the main, you know, argument for this project is really job creation, I would say.
Yeah, because they would improve the infrastructure. So they would build roads. So they would have a lot of construction workers that work there. A lot of people who work in the plant for the first couple of years until, you know, the robots takes over and move the waste and all that kind of stuff. And also, you know, build schools and stuff for all the people that work who has families. So that's how they see the economic boost, I think.
Everything will glow in the dark, and just think that they can do another.
Right.
Now, one of the things you mentioned was all these nuclear plants all over the country. How do people find out where they are?
Well, you know, really what you need to do is you need to look east of the Mississippi River, because that's where majority of those plants are. The West Coast doesn't have as nowhere near as many plants, and, you know, doesn't have as much population as the East Coast does. So if you look east of the Mississippi River, you know, there's a lot of the most plants of all states. I think it's in Illinois, and Illinois has quite a number of decommissioned plants that are no longer operational. But I think if you look really at the eastern seaboard, you will see a lot of nuclear plants over there, especially in places like North Carolina and South Carolina, and really up the coast. So, like I said, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we have like one right here, like 20 minutes outside of New York too, at Indian Point, that has had a lot of problems too. So they will dot a little bit everywhere.
And then there's, well, I don't think you could Google them. I wouldn't, that made it a little bit too easy for people. I mean, yeah, that's what terrorists are for. Oh, where are all the plants? We'll just Google it.
Right.
I would be interested because of the people living near those plants. And it's like it said, all nuclear plants leak. And it's also my belief that they're allowed to release X amount of nuclear material into the air, whether it's daily or weekly or whatever. And, you know, again, did you ever talk to people in any of the other towns where they've got nuclear reactors?
You know, we did.
San Onofre, no. Well,
San Onofre, yeah, is the only plan, but not necessarily about the release of radiation. We just talked to people about their general concerns. You know, and the main concern about the plant is it really is in the earthquake zone and a tsunami zone, and there's just a lot of problems with that plant being, you know, in a very populous area, really. So we didn't really talk about the effects on people's health. We just talked about concerns mostly.
There is a documentary that covers that spectrum, though, called, do you know which one I'm referring to? Atomic. It's on Netflix. It's another movie that covers the health effects of living next to like a waste site.
Right. No, I don't think I've seen it.
Is it called Atomic Kitchen? I don't remember. But it's a really good movie on Netflix that covers that. Yeah. Atomic Homefront? Yeah, I think it's called something like that.
Wow. Well, gosh, ladies, I'm really, really grateful that you came on. And, you know, you have a lot of information. How can people fight this?
Maybe changing their energy sources to start, where they get their energy from. Because if no one wants their energy from nuclear, then it's going to be hard for them to sustain and build new plants.
And I think, you know, another thing to remember is that nuclear plants are really becoming like they're not economically viable, especially when we look at green energy. So what happened was when the nuclear energy was initiated back in the 1950s, I believe, or 1960s, if that's wrong, nuclear energy actually got a lot of credit from the government, much like green energy is getting right now. So right now, green energy is getting a lot of support from states and from local governments and the federal government, but nuclear energy is not, you know, getting the same thing anymore. So nuclear energy is slowly kind of, getting behind as far as, you know, the viability.
Not quick enough, huh? So right, why do you think that actually... Have you ever thought about what could be done where things could be stored safely other than Minnesota?
Well, another idea is to keep it where it is and just, or move it to the closest working plant and just buff up the security so it doesn't have to travel as much. So you cut out the traveling part where accidents can happen. So I think that sounds like a half decent idea.
Makes sense to me.
I know, you know what I mean? Like when a plant closes, you see which plant is closest by and then you transport it there and then you can keep better security on it, basically.
Right. But, you know, I think you mentioned there's 130 nuclear plants in the United States or something like that. Now, can you imagine 130 different ways that they would take nuclear waste to Yucca Mountain? That's scary.
Mm-hmm. And they would take it close to Chicago and like LA and Vegas and like Atlantic City and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And they, you know, the government, from like my understanding, what they were talking, it's called the Savannah River Project, that they wanted to take the nuclear waste down there. They don't care. They don't care if it goes through the big cities. They don't care.
Right. And Savannah is really, I'm sorry to interrupt, is really, from what I know, is a pretty contaminated site. And it's, you know, there's a lot of issues with that. But the thing about it is there's already been leaks in that area. And because South Carolina has quite a number of nuclear plants in general, that's why they're very supportive of Yucca Mountain, I believe. That's the kind of idea that is often getting expressed by their congressional delegation, because of course they need to do something with that waste.
Yeah, it's like, well, we'll send it out west to the Indians. I love it. Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah. And did you realize that women absorb, and women and girls absorb radiation more than men do?
Well, it's because we have ovaries, so you get your ovaries from your mom, whereas, you know, men produce semen daily or weekly or whatever it is. So radiation stays with us for three generations, whereas for men it stays, a child is produced, you know, half sperm, half egg, whereas the egg has been around for a lot longer than the sperm. So if your mom was near a site and she could have had her ovaries kind of, you know, impacted by that, whereas the sperm keeps reproducing, that's why it's more dangerous for women.
Oh, okay. Do we have anything to say and end on a more positive note?
Well, we're just really excited to be getting close to, you know, finish with this project. And we really hope to reach out a lot of people with our work and answer a lot of these questions that are still around.
Well, I appreciate the work you've done. And thank you for coming on tonight. And I really wish you guys the best luck with your documentary.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I just want to remind everybody that next week, September 22nd, we're doing World Enlightenment Quantum Leap at 5 o'clock Central Time, 6 o'clock Eastern Time, and 3 o'clock Pacific Time. And it's going to be on UPRN Radio. For 1 hour, we're going to be chanting and calling down world enlightenment and anchoring it to the planet and our timeline, and really do a big quantum leap. You know, things are changing for the positive, guys. I mean, Paul Manafort turned, he's turning on Trump. This is a big deal. Okay. His other guy, Cohen, today has just said, I'm going to sing. The birds are going to sing. So get your popcorn out. It should be an exciting week. But keep doing the light work, and, you know, may divine enlightenment descend on everyone now. May divine enlightenment awaken within everyone now. You can practice that. The more we do it, the more it's going to happen, and the more we're going to create enlightenment. And when that happens, guys, your job's going to be easier because people are going to be awakened, and they're going to want to hear what you guys have to say, and they're going to want your knowledge, and it's going to be easier for you to get the word out there.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
I think so. It's the best one I've got. And on that note, I want to say aloha, everybody, and have a really safe week. And for all those that have gone through natural disasters, we're going to ask that trauma's removed and you're reconnected to the Creator and you're filled with all these new possibilities. And on that note, we're going to say aloha and catch you next week.
Aloha.
All right. Aloha.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Head to spacedoutradio.com for all your latest show info. And hit us up on Twitter using the hashtag spacedoutradio. Now, back to Dave Scott and SOR.
Welcome back for the second hour of Spaced Out Radio tonight. I am your host, Dave Scott. Great to have you with us to start your weekend. Tomorrow night on the show,